The body of a missing Haynes man is found, and the Haynes Assembly agrees to take on the costs of a recent election investigation. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. The body of a missing Haynes man was found Wednesday morning with the help of canine search teams from Juneau. 26-year-old Jonathan Ward was reported missing Monday by his family. He was last seen early on the morning of November 8th, leaving his Mud Bay home on foot. Haynes police issued a description of Ward, and state troopers initiated a search that included police, local volunteers, and a Sea Dog team from Juneau. Sea Dogs stands for Southeast Alaska Dogs Organized for Ground Search. The search was suspended Tuesday at nightfall, but picked up again Wednesday morning. Shortly before 10 a.m., searchers located Ward's body in a wooded area to the southwest of the fairgrounds ball fields, less than a mile from Ward's home. State Trooper spokesperson Megan Peters said the Sea Dogs team was instrumental in the search.
It is a wooded area, a little bit of a foothill, a little bit of snow. According to the troopers, without the dogs, we probably wouldn't have found him. And so it's a good thing that the Sea Dogs were able to come up and participate in the search and rescue.
Peter says the death appears to be a suicide, but an exact cause will be determined by the state medical examiner. Two firearms were found with the body, and alcohol is considered a factor, Peter said. Despite rumors circulating Wednesday, Peters and Haynes trooper Andrew Neeson said it did not appear the body had been disturbed by any wildlife. At a special meeting Tuesday, the Skagway Assembly discussed White Pass lease negotiations, mostly in executive session. The Assembly voted to send the negotiating committee, which includes Assemblymen Dan Henry and Steve Burnham, and legal counsel, to Florida to meet with White Pass representatives. There's no time frame yet set for the meeting. Henry traveled alone to Florida last month to meet with White Pass President John Finlayson and Club Link Enterprise CEO Ray Sahi. At the time, Henry told the Skagway News that sending more than one person to Florida for meetings was a waste of resources. Nearly a year ago, in January of this year, the mayor, borough manager, borough attorney, and Henry also traveled to Florida for meetings with White Pass. But on Wednesday, Mayor Mark Schaefer said negotiations were moving forward, and he's cautiously optimistic that the municipality and White Pass can come to terms that are beneficial for all those involved. He said more information about the negotiations will be available by the first assembly meeting in December. The ongoing negotiations are to come to an agreement about how the municipality can access the White Pass-owned Oar Terminal to move ahead with the Gateway Project, meant to enhance and upgrade the town's port facilities. The Haynesboro Assembly met Tuesday for nearly 4 hours, and while we can't fit everything that happened at the meeting into our news report, let's try to hit some highlights. It was the first regular meeting with newly elected Assembly members Diana Lapham and George Campbell, who took the oath of office at the beginning of the meeting, although they've actually been on the job for a couple weeks now. First order of business for the Assembly was to discuss who should bear the costs of the recent election investigation. School board candidate Artie Miller contested the election because of concerns surrounding the process and how undermarked ballots were treated at the polls. An investigation concluded and the Assembly agreed that while mistakes had been made and some procedures should change, the outcome of the election was not affected. It was estimated the investigation cost about $10,000. On Wednesday, interim borough manager Julie Causey said the exact cost from the borough attorney is just over $11,500. The borough would absorb that cost if the investigation concluded there had been any wrongdoing or corruption, but since there wasn't, it was up to the Assembly to determine if the borough or Miller should foot the bill. Several residents in public comments supported the borough paying the costs, since several things about the process were discovered, they said. Mayor Stephanie Scott has also proposed 9 points of election reform discovered during the investigation that the Government Affairs Committee is scheduled to address. Scott also supported the bill being paid by the borough. But some Assembly members did not agree. Dave Barry said he was struggling with the decision, and Jerry Lapp said the points raised during the investigation could have been addressed with a letter of concern to the Assembly instead of an investigation. However, Lapp ended up voting with the majority to pass the motion and have the borough pay for the investigation. Barry and Campbell voted no. In her mayor's report, Mayor Scott also addressed the investigation. She apologized for the formal 24-page report on the investigation findings being made public and available to the assembly members only 2 hours before the assembly met to vote on the investigation and election certification. She said that was not enough time to digest the report.
I'm going to promote a minimum time between which a key decision-making document is available and the time that that decision is scheduled to be made. As you know, we have those standards in place with respect to ordinances and resolutions. We need to extend it to reports and investigations.
The Assembly took up an ordinance brought forth by the Planning Commission changing the fee and penalty structure for under the land use title. Currently, any violation of permits or land use nets a $250 fine. The change would have a tiered fee and fine structure, and any violation would first bring about a warning letter, allowing a resident 10 days to come into compliance before being fined. The Assembly unanimously supported the ordinance, and it moved to a second public hearing. Next up was an ordinance that brought about the most public comment, one that would prohibit motorized vehicles on the Chilkat River Beach's recreational zone. This ordinance also comes from the Planning Commission. Most residents spoke in support of the ordinance, saying the beach area along Mud Bay Road has long been assumed to be non-motorized, since a 2001 plan for public use and access in the city of Haines suggested the same beach area be designated non-motorized. Residents also discussed that the about 1 mile stretch is used by pedestrians mostly, and some said too sensitive for motorized use. Some assembly members were less supportive of the idea of restricting motorized use, but Diana Lapham and Jerry Lapp said they visited the area, and while they are avid ATV and snow machine users, that particular area doesn't seem conducive for those activities. Here's Lapp.
It looks to me like this area is no good for motorized vehicles. I mean, snow machines, I don't see when you'd have a snow machine out there. If you did, you'd take a chance of pulling out your whole underneath and things. I mean, unless there was 5 or 6 feet of snow there, and I don't think it stays right in that area that long. And for four-wheelers, it doesn't look big enough to really where you could take a four-wheeler out there and enjoy yourself at all. But I just hate to see areas closed off to motorized vehicles when there must be some other kind of way to regulate.
George Campbell has been outspoken against the ordinance. He made a motion to send it back to the Planning Commission to have them consider regulating the area in a different way with speed limits for motorized vehicles. That did not appeal to Assemblywoman Deborah Schnabel, who noted the commission had already taken a stance on the issue.
The Planning Commission conducted extensive public hearings on this particular issue, and I have spoken with some individual members of the Planning Commission who feel that the discussion that was held by the Assembly was complete, was thorough, examined the positions that have been voiced here, and that a decision was made. So just sending it back to the Planning Commission is just asking them to do the same thing all over again.
The motion to return the ordinance to the Planning Commission failed. Mayor Scott noted the 2001 plan actually called for much more planning of the Chilkat Beach area, including trails and parking developed. She encouraged the Planning Commission to take up more planning discussions about the beach, but encouraged the Assembly to move ahead with deciding on a motorized use designation. She also pointed out that exploring other areas for motorized use would take place separate from this ordinance. The Assembly voted 5-1 to send the ordinance to a second public hearing, with Campbell voting against it. But there was one ordinance the Assembly did send back to committee. That was the ordinance changing the makeup of the committee that decides changes to the heliskiing area map. Dave Barry is on the Government Affairs and Services Committee that tackled the map committee makeup. He said the committee spent several meetings trying to come up with a committee that would be acceptable to most of the community.
We tried to make this committee so it reached every fiber of this community. And so we were under the impression that one tourist-related organization, one member from Lynn Canal Conservation, a representative from Tribe, a representative from Haynesboro, a representative from the Helen Industry, we sat here for a long time and we reached consensus of everybody here that though this is not perfect, it's better than what we've had in the past.
But as discussion went on, more suggestions were made about what types of committee members to add, whether to add more business representation, like a member of the Chamber of Commerce, or more experts, like aviation and search and rescue representatives. Finally, Schnabel suggested the committee revisit the makeup.
In my opinion, we have politicized this so heavily that we are all just naming the perspectives that we think need to come into the deliberation of the map.
The Assembly approved returning the map to the committee, with Barry and Joanne Waterman opposed. In other Assembly business, the group voted on a budget ordinance allowing for the purchase of a flatbed truck that can be used for hauling vehicles and other equipment, nearly $500,000 for a new 911 system for the public safety building, and money for harbor improvements. There was also money approved for the disposal of lumber from the Port Chilkoot dock, but money was not approved for a tourism study. The Assembly did approve inviting borough manager candidate David Sosa and his wife to Haines for a visit and in-person interview. The group also decided the salary range for a new manager should be between $80,000 and $110,000. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Don't forget to join us Thursday at 10 a.m. for Talk Around Town with host Deborah Schnabel. This week's topic is the Haines Chamber of Commerce, celebrating 100 years and looking ahead to what's next. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.